Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Jan from Minnesota.
Hi, this is Helen from Michigan. It seems like we were the first ones on last week.
Yeah, I think so. How has it been
Jan,
there?
Gretchen usually doesn't come on for this before.
Pardon me?
Gretchen usually doesn't come on until just about ready to start.
Just before, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know if that for sure.
I'm noticing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what is the weather like up there?
Oh, it is wild. It is windy. It is just about, it blew my fireplace out.
Oh, really?
Just the one that I turned with the switch, but the pilot light went out and the fireplace went off. It was very cold today and very windy.
Okay.
I hope that's a sign of spring.
Well, let's hope.
How was it there?
Well, I can't go out. I unfortunately am recovering from this terrible thing that I won't even name it.
I know.
I was, I was in the hospital, so I can't go out. I'm still on oxygen, but
goodness.
The ground is covered with snow. And yesterday, I guess my neighbors were telling me it was really cold.
But it's winter. Yeah.
It's Michigan. It's winter.
Right.
Yeah. And
Michigan
I wouldn't want
Minnesota.
It any other way. Yeah.
No. I wonder if somebody came on.
I don't know.
It sounded like someone was coming.
Uh-huh.
Hi, ladies. It's just me. It's up here. I'm in Florida down here.
Oh, hi.
Got a little rain today, and I'm down here in Ocala right now. I'm looking at 70 degrees right now.
Oh,
my goodness.
Enjoy.
I'm going to wait for it.
I hear y'all talking snow and cold and all. And I'm looking right now, looking at my phone. It says 70 degrees. And let me pull it back up. That was Hawthorne. Let's see what we're down here in Ocala. Let's see if I can get an update here. Yeah, Ocala 71. I'm sorry, 71 down here. But
wow.
It is a little bit of rain too down here though right now. A little mist in the air. A little mist.
It just warms you up thinking about it.
I'd like to see some snow though. But I'm gonna be back out. I'm fixing to make a bunch of noise. I'm just dropping a trailer down here in Ocala. I'm fixing to pick one. I'm going to Orlando tonight and then back to Jacks.
Oh boy. I think that's where you went last time.
Yeah, my Friday's always different. I never know what I'm doing on Fridays. Friday's always different. Last night I drove 620 miles. Last night I went to Savannah, back to Jacksonville, then to the other side of Cocoa Beach down there. It's called Palm Bay. So I put 620 miles on truck last night. I drove some pretty good ways. Tonight won't be quite as bad.
That's where my friend lives. My friend is in Palm Bay, Miss. This is Claudia.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd like to go down there during the daytime. I don't see much at night down there. I go down there to a college. There's a big college down there.
I had no idea you were traveling all everywhere. I didn't realize you went far every night.
Yeah, you get to ride around a little bit, do a little bit of everything. Yes, ma'am. Tonight I'm driving a brand new.
You won't get bored.
Yeah, there you go. I'm driving a brand new international truck tonight. This thing only got 180,000 miles on it. It's not a real nice truck.
Wow, that's nothing,
nice.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is, ma'am. Living a dream. it's a nice truck and all. Good. Nice and quiet in here, saying. Roughing it,
that's
I should
that
say.
Picture.
It's got an auto.
Did you ever get that picture of you and Annette at the wedding?
At the wedding? I don't know if I did or not. Miss Annette probably may have gotten it. Yes, ma'am. Okay, yes, ma'am.
I can send it to Vicki and stick it. Because I don't have your email. I can text it to you if you want me to do that. I just don't have your number.
Okay, yes, ma'am. I'll give it to you if you like to. That'd be fine.
Yeah, okay. What is it?
I'm area code 904.
Okay.
And I'm 424-2617.
2617. Okay, I'll send it to you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for thinking on me.
It's a beautiful picture. I couldn't remember if you had it. I don't think you do then.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Thank you. Oh, appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome,
Mitch. Okay.
Okay, take care. I guess Gretchen's coming
okay.
on soon.
Thank you. Okay,
okay.
I'm going to mute out again, too. I'm making noise.
Okay.
I missed last weekend. I was on vacation last weekend. I always miss when I'm on vacation doing something different.
Is that you, Gretchen? It is. I was sitting here listening to everybody just talk away. I just love it. We just visit. We do visit. That's good, though. Yeah, it is good. And I'm glad you're here, Mitch, and everyone else that's on. And welcome each and every one of you. And you deserve it. Drive safe out there, buddy. Yes, that's right. So, does anyone want to let me know? I think what I hear, Claudia and Mitch, was that Jam? Don't
yes.
quite know. Yes, it is. Well, good. Thank you for joining us. Yay.
Thank you.
Helen, my gosh, this is great. I love Friday night date night with the Lord and all its people. Anyone else come on that wants to say hi? Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get us muted and take it away.
Welcome, everyone.
She declared its independence from Spain in 1898.
What is the
bill? That's correct. That takes you to 1800. Once again.
Okay, I think I have a clear line now. Sorry about that little bit of time there. Welcome, everyone, to Spirit Mind Body Connection and Freedom's Way Ministries. This is a Freedom's Way Ministry teaching. I do recommend everyone tap in with us every weekday morning, starting at 7:15 till about 9 every morning, and where we all have a little mini church, and bless you each and everyone for coming. So, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I just thank you and praise you for this word that you have sent to rescue us and to make us complete and whole in you. And Father, I just ask that this word would do what you send it forth to do, to prosper and to reproduce after its kind. And I thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. So welcome again. I'm very excited about this. We're going to start a new series beginning, of course, tonight with the Word of God, but we're going to be laying a foundation and talk about the essential doctrines of Christ. Because without these going on with deliverance and all this other stuff can get a bit jumbled up. So we're just going to get back to the essential truths of the gospel, again, starting tonight with the foundation of God's Word. So touching the heart of God and restoring the heart of man, it's more than just a slogan. It is the goal for our personal lives and for our corporate body. Within the framework of the vision for our church body and for our place in the body of Christ, each one of us has a responsibility. We have a responsibility to God, to ourselves, and to each other. And we want to make certain that we have in our lives a proper understanding of who God is, how God thinks about us personally and about other people, and how we can communicate who He is to those people that God would send us to. Building a foundation for your life can be compared to laying the foundation of a house. You can start off excited about what you're going to do, so you get up early in the morning, you go to the job site with great anticipation of building your new home. Everything's all measured out and ready the stakes are in place and you start digging. But pretty soon you realize, man, this is hard work. I mean, it's hot. The ground is rocky. There are stumps in the way, and you're still digging. Sometimes process seems to be so very slow, and you begin to wonder if it's worth it, or if maybe there is another, quicker, easier, softer way. Maybe you can just buy a house and save yourself the pain. If you don't understand the process, that there is effort in building a proper structure in your life, and that the foundation is the most important part, you'll lose something precious. I mean, even though the foundation won't show outwardly when you're done, it holds the whole thing up. The foundation determines the strength of the structure. It determines how big the building can be and how long it will stand. Without a solid foundation, nothing is able to stand. The good news is that your Heavenly Father is right there helping you dig that foundation, lining things up, doing the heavy lifting. We have a loving and committed God who seeks to introduce us to the first principles and foundations of our Christian faith. And we must prepare the soil and lay the proper foundation upon which the rest of our lives, for ages to come, will rest. And it's important that we stay teachable. I mean, Paul said, when you think you know is when you need to start learning. 1 Corinthians 8, 2 and 3. And if any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. And our goal is to love God and to know what we know with a right attitude. Now, the things that you've heard before, you may hear in a different way, but it will be a definite confirming process. This is simply the cornerstone of the foundation, and we'll explore these truths throughout life. The evidence of our maturity in the things of God is that we are teaching these truths to others. Again, the evidence of our maturity in the things of God is that we are teaching these truths to others, these doctrines. We can know something in our heads, but miss the expression of God. We can know something in our heads, but miss the expression of the heart of God towards his people. When you know it in your heart, you begin to share it with others in love and with clarity that helps bring others into intimacy with the Father. So we're going to move into Hebrews 6, where we are given six foundational doctrines which every believer ought to know. Before examining them, look at Hebrews chapter 5 for the context. I'm going to read just a few verses, Hebrews 5, 10 through 12. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again
which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, meaning that they are matured, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews is talking about Melchizedek and the priesthood. And the word for principles alludes to the idea of beginnings, the beginnings of the teachings of who God really is. The way that you know that you truly understand these principles is this: you're teaching them, or you're helping them be taught. When you have a full grasp of the depth of each doctrine, you will share what you know with others, and you will need to be equipped with spiritual necessities to enable you to fulfill your calling. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And moving into Hebrews chapter 6, we really start to get clarity. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles or the beginnings of the doctrine or teachings of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." And according to this scripture, there are six key areas that every believer is supposed to have an understanding of. And we're going to go over each one of these in this series. They are repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine or the teaching of baptisms, that's plural, and the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. These are what are considered to be the six foundational teachings of the Christian faith. But notice this, it says that these are the principles of the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. So this is a teaching that reveals a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. There are many Jesus, and the apostle even addresses this in one of his New Testament letters, where he says, well, I'm just going to read it. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might bear well with him." So Paul is saying, you know, I'm concerned about you, church, lest you receive another Jesus or another spirit. Because we hear the term spoken Jesus, or we hear about God in this kind of generic kind of fashion, it doesn't mean that we have the real one, the true one, or the one that came in human flesh. hearing about a generic God, a God in all things, or say God in nothing, maybe it's the New Age God within, it doesn't mean that we understand the heart of the one true God. And what these six teachings are meant to do is to concrete in our hearts, to seal and cement that in, and in our understanding who God really is. And that's why they are foundational in their nature. Because how you see God and how you see yourself directly affects the life you live, how you enjoy or how you don't enjoy your Christianity. Your understanding of these doctrines will affect the message that you have for other people, which needs to be a true and pure message that brings life. So it's not really about our getting through this life. It's about what our lives will look like when we get to those two final doctrines, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And when you understand what these doctrines mean and grasp the powerful scriptural truth, it will radically change the way you view God and the way you live your life forever. You know, we can be influenced by many things, some of which are good and some of which are not necessarily good at all. You know, there has to be an overriding final authority in our lives, and that authority for a Christian needs to be the Word of God. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know, in the Greek there, literally translate, and God is the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not made anything that was made. So the Word is a person. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And in the Greek language, that word, is the word logos. There are two primary words that are used to describe the scripture. That is logos and rhema. But the etymology or the origin of the Greek word logos is very interesting. You know, the guy who created it was trying to advance science, and he had, you know, students under him, and he wanted all his pupils, whether they were studying plant life or the stars, to take this approach. He wanted them to ask, what is the reason why? And out of that, he created this word, logos, or the reason why. So all those ologies, whether it's zoology, biology, psychology, and so forth, they all issued out of the word logos, or the reason why. In the beginning was the reason why. In the beginning was the Logos of God. So He is the reason why everything exists, praise the Lord. He's the reason why we are here. He's the answer to everything. A person, not an idea. In the beginning was the reason why. The reason why was with God, and the reason why was God. God is the reason why. All things were created by His Word, and so for us to understand both the natural and the spiritual world, We must go to the Word of God. We have to have this basic understanding that God has written a book, knowing that we would need an anchor to help sort through all this stuff that life would present to us. So how do we know that this book is the Word of God? Well, its writings encompass 3,500 years in human history. It is the most loved and the most hated of all books. It is the most read, the most published, the most distributed book in the whole world. The Bible, without question, has had the most profound effect of any writing throughout all of history. I mean, it was even the first book to be printed on the printing press. Without apology, the Bible refers to itself as inspired and as God-breathed. It has never missed in its prophecy and prediction of future events, never. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, speaking from a scientific viewpoint, we can't use the book to tell us that the book is true. So is it possible to accept the Scriptures outside of faith? Well, the answer is yes. Reasoning will tell you it was impossible for this book to be anything other than God's own handiwork. The Bible consists of 66 smaller books that comprise the whole, written by 44 different men. It was written over a period that scholars say could not have been less than 1,200 years or more than 1,600 years. Only a handful of the authors ever met. Very few knew each other. They lived in different parts of the world. They lived at different times and had different backgrounds and different lifestyles. And despite having all these different writers, the Scriptures closely correlate and support each other with no contradiction. There is only a cohesiveness of thought, direction, and purpose. And in spite of the time frame and other differences, each book of the Bible testifies of the same thing and in the same way. The Bible is the manufacturer's handbook, giving us the pattern of life, which is the love of the Father, and the pattern for living, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, regarding questions, concerning languages and translations. The King James translation has been traced back to the original manuscripts and has been proven. The canon of Scripture is what became our Bible. Canonization was an extremely exacting process. Godly men carefully reviewed each and every piece of writing submitted for inconsistencies, and if anything was found to be untrue, the work as a whole was not included. So the integrity of Scripture in the Holy Bible is without question. Only God could have managed to keep this word intact through the dark ages when there was no printed Bible. Only God could have managed to keep his word intact through the countless persecutions of believers throughout all of history as we know it. And only God could have written it. The fact that God chose men to pen his book reveals his awesome love and power. And to say that it's fallible, that it's not trustworthy, is just the opposite of the truth. The Bible was not written by men for God. It was written for men by God in order to restore us all to himself. That is a beautiful nugget. The Bible was not written by men for God. It was written for men by God in order to restore all of us to himself. And perhaps the greatest proof that the Bible is God's word is that when we believe what it says, we are changed. We have the proof living inside of us. God chose to use men in the writing of his word to demonstrate that although we are weak, he is strong. And that when we submit our lives to him, he can produce that which is perfect and without error. The fact that men were involved in its writing makes the Bible something that we can all relate to. And the fact that God was involved in its writing makes it divine and without error, proving that his divinity transcends our humanity. This is the message of the Bible. And you know, the Word is a living book. Anyone who comes from a purely intellectual posture is going to miss this. I mean, there is a requirement of faith involved for the revelation of the words on the page to pierce your heart. That is the Rhema word of God. There is a faith required in getting anything from God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word has to be quickened. That means to make alive. So the word has to be made alive by the Spirit in order to bring life. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So that's a living Word of God. The quick and powerful Word made alive by the Spirit that brings life and not death. There's more to it than just esteeming our Bibles highly. The Word of God in our lives should transcend every other thing when it comes to what we believe or what not to believe, what to practice and what not to practice. And when you find clearly marked paths in the Scriptures, make the decision. Does the Scripture have priority and preeminence over even my doctrinal upbringing, over my denominational preference, or my sphere of influence with family and friends that I hang out with? I mean, where does my allegiance lie? Does it lie with the Word of God, or does it lie with the opinions of men? And can we distinguish between the two? In Psalm 138, David declares something that he's seen in God. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. God was and is willing to put his whole reputation on the line when it comes to his word. I mean, if God said something, he will bring it to pass if he hasn't already. He will fully accomplish the thing that has gone out of his mouth. Acts 17:10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So here we have the apostles teaching a doctrine that had never been heard before by the Jews, that Jesus was their Messiah. They were expounding on the Hebrew Scriptures to make that case and to really nail it down. The Bereans were more noble because they had an open mind and they realized they didn't have all the truth. You know, that's a prerequisite for learning anything in God. If you've already got it all figured out, you've just cut yourself off. Because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so, God put a stamp on them, calling them noble. They honored his word. And if you don't find it in Scripture, throw it out. And if you do find it in the Scripture, embrace it. Because nothing you are told or taught relieves you of the responsibility of searching the Scriptures and finding out for yourself. When you search the Scriptures, you are searching for the heart of God, the living Word that speaks life. Don't search the Word to validate something in your own thinking or to advance an agenda. because when the word is manipulated, it doesn't reflect the heart of God. When you hear something, you should be like the Bereans found in Acts 17. Make sure what you hear is true according to the word of God and the intent of that word. You see, the word and the spirit must agree. We have the Holy Spirit in us to witness to the truth. So if you hear the word, but the Holy Spirit doesn't witness to it, put that word on the shelf and don't act on it. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So when you come to God, come to him humbly and teachably. Never take an isolated scripture and then build a doctrine on it. Just let the Bible interpret itself. Look for the witness of the Holy Spirit and look for more than one verse to validate the revelation. For out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. Because every scripture has a mate, a corresponding scripture that says the same things. Isaiah 34:16 reads, "Seek you out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want for her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them." So what exactly is the Word, the Bible, the Scriptures? Well, Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." So the Word is a lamp and it's a light. Well, a lamp and a light have two different meanings. The first, the lamp, implies something immediately in front of you. It's like light in a natural sense of holding a flashlight to illuminate what's right here. It's the word you seek for the thing you need right now. It's something you must carry. You know, we have the responsibility to hold on to the word and to seek it out for our everyday situations. And then we have the word light, which denotes a different sense. Something outside of the sphere of what you can do. It's more of a supernatural light, like sunshine that illuminates your future. It gives you a vision and allows eternal things to unfold in your life. What else is the word? Well, we already saw that the word of God is a two-edged sword that enables us to cut through the confusions of the complex issues of this life. And we also know that the word is a sure foundation that cannot be moved. And that's our focus here tonight. Luke 6:47 to 49 reads, "Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. What is the word? Well, the word is life and health to those who find it. Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings, and let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The word brings healing to all of our ailments. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word brings correction and instruction into our lives when we begin to veer off the path. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it is the agent for washing our inner man and keeps us clean on the inside. Ephesians 5:25-26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. John 15:3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. And the word is your defense against the things that come to defile you spiritually and emotionally. It cleanses you of defilement. It makes us prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And there's also 1 Kings 2:3. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wheresoever you turn yourself. You know, this kind of prosperity, this is more than just money. It's the fruit of the word of the God in your life that brings peace and success in whatever circumstances you're in. So I encourage you to find out what the word of God says about your situation and begin to speak that word, and things will begin to line up. You know, the Bible has the ability to save our souls our intellect, our will, and our emotions. James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. It upholds all things. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I mean, think about that for a minute. Everything hangs on the person of Jesus. And he is given to be the head of the body. And when we say the head of the church, it's Jesus, we're saying the head of the church is the Word of God, because Jesus is the head of the church. So referring to the head is speaking of the thoughts of God. And the Word is God's counsel and his mandate for living, for Christian conduct. So all the answers are in the Word. God wants to awaken a love affair through his book. And the Bible is also a rock to build on that cannot be moved in the storms of life. And I read that before. The word is our daily food. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is present tense. It is a living word from God daily for your life. And when you spend time with the Lord in the Word, a living Word will come forth for your life. He reveals it to you because he is a living God, and this is a living book. The Word keeps us from sinning. Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against you. And the word is Jesus Christ wrapped in human flesh. John 1:14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We make a common mistake when we place the Word of God as a secondary priority in our lives. In our own natural thinking, we assume that it's more important to be busy doing things for God than to sit at his feet and hear his word. But God doesn't want doers. He wants beers. He doesn't want us living for him. He wants us living from him. It is his word that empowers us to be effective ministers, the flame of fire spoken about in Hebrews 1:7. He will always defend us when we have taken time to spend with him. Luke 10:38-42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." When you position yourself at the feet of Jesus, he will personally defend you for that time. There are enemies to your time with the Lord. And when you fight for time in the Word, Jesus will defend you. So don't be slothful. Just prioritize. God will redeem your time and everything will get done. Now, in order to know God's heart on the matter, on any matter, you have to spend time with him. You know, it's been rightly said that the thing you spend your time with is the thing you worship. And if you aren't in the Word every day, are you worshiping another God? Romans 3:4, God forbid. Yes, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your sayings and might overcome when you are judged. So when you come to the Word of God, you should come expecting to hear from him, ready to be taught, hungry for more of his unfailing love. But when you cry out for him, he hears. And when you are hungry, he feeds you, and you will be satisfied. Psalm 81:10. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And in Matthew 6:11, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to ask for daily bread. And daily bread is a necessity. It's not a luxury. The word tells us that we have many challenges and struggles, but our Father has made a daily provision for our everyday struggles. I mean, we can ask Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. John 6, 27 to 35. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign show you then, that we may see and believe you? What do you work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. And then in verses 47 to 51, Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Exodus 16, 1-6. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God that we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. And then said the Lord to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at evening, then you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of from the land of Egypt. So take the revelation out of the natural realm of your spiritual need. I'm so sorry, I said that wrong. Take the revelation out of the natural realm of your physical need. Forgive me, Lord. Jesus says now that I am the bread that sustains you. What you need to be looking at for on a daily basis is a living word that comes out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, the Israelites, they were commanded to get up in the morning, go out, and get their provision. You have daily enemies, and you have daily provision. And if you don't go after the provision and you're losing the battle, then what else can God do for you? I mean, you have to be responsible to go to the place of provision to get the mind of God. And then you have it. Then you have what it takes to overcome in that situation, whatever it is. When you spend time with God in His Word, He will defend your doing that, and He will honor you and meet you where you are. So lay the foundation of your life in His Word, and the foundation of every single day as well. Because you can't get to know someone you don't spend time with. 2 Kings 25, 27 to 30. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he did begin to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon and changed his prison garments. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Jeremiah 37:21. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city was spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Psalm 56:1-4. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O you Most High, what time I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Proverbs 8:33-36. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Acts 2:46-47. And they, continuing daily and with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So I want to thank you each and every one for joining us tonight. Again, this is our first of a series of 7 teachings on the doctrines of Christ. Next week, we'll be talking about repentance from dead works, which is the first principle. And I just want to encourage everyone out there, if you're not aware of it, Freedom Sway Ministries has a morning phone line where you can join us every weekday at 7:15. The reading of the word starts about 8:15. And if it's hard for you to get in it, you can have beautiful souls reading to you, just like we are to Mitch as he's driving around out there. And so I just want to encourage each and every one of you to eat the word and be filled. So, Father, again, thank you and praise you that you have given us your word. And I thank you, God, for the truth that makes free. And I thank you, Father, that this is not a power battle, because all power belongs to you, Lord, but that this is a truth battle. And I just pray, Father, that we can share these truths and see many souls be saved. And just put an end, Lord, to evil here on the earth. Father, I just thank you for each and every one of your people. I ask, Lord, that of all the words that went forth, that it would become a firm foundation, and that it would be settled, grounded, established, and deeply treasured by your people. Father, I thank you that you have made yourself known, and that we no longer live for you, that we live from you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So I will be back next Friday evening, 8:30. We'll be picking up with repentance from dead works, a fabulous and beginning for us all. I'm going to open up the line. If anyone has a comment or a question, this is your turn. Give me one sec. Thank you. Okay. Is there any, if there's anyone out there that'd like to make a comment or question, please hit the star 6 key.
Thank you, Gretchen. It was awesome.
Oh,
I love learning.
Claudia.
Oh, I do. I just, it really fills me up. Thank you. What a way to go to bed.
Well, that, excuse me, that was wonderful. I actually, this is Jan, and I was disconnected about 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago, and I've been spent.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh huh.
I don't know what happened.
I'm just calling back. Yeah. And who am I speaking to? Gretchen?
Oh, this is Claudia. Gretchen's on the line, though.
Oh, Claudia. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sorry to be talking because I kind of lost all that time and didn't hear what anybody said, but it was a beautiful, beautiful presentation. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to unpacking a little bit more. So we're looking forward for you, Jan, to join us. And again, if you have time to join us in the morning, that's a very powerful way to start your day. It's a breakfast of champions, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Yes, that's
awesome.
Right.
That's
yeah,
great.
It is. It's just fabulous. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank, you very much, Gretchen. It was a wonderful teaching.
You know, you guys are, we're all in this together, and I'm glad it's with you. So, yay.
Oh, me too. Me too. Thank you. God
bless.
Thanks,
Gretchen. It was a blessing.
Oh.
Yes, thank you,
yes,
Gretchen.
It was.
Such a blessing. I'm so full.
Oh.
Full on the bread. Thank you, sis.
I'll
mute out.
Yeah. All right. Well, much love. Air hugs to you all, and enjoy your evening with the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah forever. See you there, guys.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.